walking here! I'm walking!
Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Friday, to get you through your commute, to get you through the coronavirus crisis. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. We are live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming each and every day, every hour, every second on all those smart speakers out there like Amazon Echo and Google Home. Got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours to do it. The media is continuing to root against this president. We'll tell you exactly what they're doing. Sheriff's deputies in Pierce County, they're giving back to the community in a pretty cool way. Plus, how one restaurant on Bainbridge Island has decided to pay it forward. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
The media bias works in one very obvious way and one not so obvious way. The obvious way is when we hear people like Jim Acosta speak. Like we hear the CBS reporter we played in the last hour speak. That's very obvious. They don't hide it whatsoever. And then sometimes it's kind of in the middle, but they try to hide it. They try to set up a question for a guest. Quite the opposite in the way that they deal with Donald Trump. So they set up Donald Trump for a gotcha question. But then, on the other hand, you've got some media outlets that kind of softball some questions, telegraph exactly the way they want the person to answer. They do that when they know or when they believe they're talking to someone who's friendly, who's someone ideologically friendly to them. If you want to see that on display every single day, all you have to do is listen to The View or watch The View, which I've chosen now not to do. I only read the transcripts and I force producer Peyton to actually go through and find all the audio because I may hate myself, producer Peyton, but I don't hate myself that much and I hate you more.
You do hate me more. That's exactly where I was going with that.
It's just the absolute worst. But there was a perfect moment today, and kudos to Governor Gavin Newsom, who I cannot stand politically. Ideologically, he and I are on polar opposite sides of the spectrum. But Joy Behar tried to set him up to just go after the president and attack him, and he did not take the bait.
Governor, you know, it's no secret that you've had a combative relationship with Trump in the past. But lately, you've been praising him for the help he's giving. Well, of course, you have to, because look at how he treats governors who don't, you know, kiss his ring. The governor of Washington, the governor of Michigan.
So she's already set up a narrative. She's already set up her perspective. She's not asking a question to get answers. She's setting up a question so he says what she wants him to. She has set it up as fact that the only reason anyone might praise Donald Trump is because if you don't, he gets mad at you. He calls you out on Twitter. He calls you out at a press briefing. He doesn't give you the details that you need, the data that you need to attack the coronavirus. Doesn't give you the personal protection equipment that you need to give to the frontline folks who are fighting this thing. She has set that up as fact before even asking the question and getting an answer.
He said they were not appreciative and told Mike Pence, don't call them back. You know.
And by the way, that's not what he said at all. That's not what he said. He said he wouldn't call them back. He made a point during one of the press conferences last week to say, Mike, did I ever tell you not to call someone back? You'll call them all back. That's what he does. So she's being dishonest, and she hasn't even gotten to the question yet.
Do you feel like you have to feed this guy's ego to get the respirators and to get the PPEs? Is that what's going on?
But why do you ask it that way? Because you just stated it as fact that the answer to that question is yes.
Well, let me just acknowledge the frame of your question. We're involved in over 68 lawsuits with the Trump administration. And so there's no question we have had our differences of opinion on many issues. But I just want to remind you and maybe others that are not aware of this. We've been at this since late January. California got a head start in many respects where no one was really paying much attention. We started working with the administration directly to get these repatriated flights from mainland China into the state of California. Many states turned their back on those flights and those repatriation missions. California embraced them. We also had that Grand Princess, that large cruise ship, where we worked very collaboratively with the federal government, developed strong relationships of trust around the emergency planning and how we can bring those passengers back into our diverse communities and all across the rest of the country. As a consequence of that, our relationship began earlier than most. And so from that perspective, all I can say is, from my perspective, the The relationship has been strong, and I'm not doing it to kiss the ring. I'm not doing it in a way, you know, that I've just been forthright with the president. He returns calls. He reaches out. He's been proactive.
That's an instructive answer, isn't it? This is a guy who's a hardcore progressive ideologue, right? He is a believer. We played some of the audio yesterday about how he wants to use this crisis, Governor Gavin Newsom, to transform this country with more progressive policies. He's a true believer. And yet he didn't take the bait. And she set it up so easily, and she would not have prodded if he said, oh, yeah, he's the worst. She would not have come back and said, okay, well, tell us how. And yet he was honest there. Now, here's the question for you. Do you think she's going to use that answer as instructive? Do you think she is going to use that answer to determine how she talks about this president as it relates to the coronavirus next week on her shows? Because I don't think so. I think she's going to pretend that that answer didn't actually happen. There are a lot of people who pretend things aren't actually said. In cases like this with The View's Joy Behar, she does it because it goes in the face. It stands in the way of her narrative. Then there are other people who ignore things that are being said, even though it shows the person they're talking to be a giant hypocrite, because, again, they're trying to damage the president. So on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, who's not a news person, and yet we kind of treat him sometimes like what he has to say is valid, like his analysis on political stuff is important in any way, shape, or form. But he was talking to Nancy Pelosi, and I want you to listen to a portion of what she said last night.
Well, the president doesn't do the Defense Production Act, why he doesn't call for everyone to have it said. You'd have to ask him about that.
She wants him to do both of those things. Now, number one, she's being disingenuous because the president has, in fact, utilized and has declared the National Production Act. But here's the issue that I want to talk about with that. Do you guys all remember, literally just weeks ago, this same party, this same speaker, this same leadership on the left, saying that the president is trying to become a monarch? The president is a dictator. In fact, the whole argument, one of the big arguments into why they wanted to impeach the president, despite there not actually being a crime that they alleged, they alleged crimes. They didn't actually put it into the impeachment articles. They said we need to stop him from becoming a monarch. So the same party, the same exact party, the same leadership, the same speaker that just weeks ago called him a monarch in the making, a dictator in the making, they are now saying we want him to close down the entire economy. We want him to force people to stay at home across the country. Not leave it up to the governors, not say it's a states' rights issue, but to enact a federal piece of guidance to keep everyone at home. And by the way, go into a private corporation and demand that they manufacture things you want them to demand. You can't have it both ways. He's either a tyrant and a dictator and a monarch, or he's not. And so when he doesn't act that way, after you call him out as acting that way, then say you want him then to act that way for what purpose? Because you want to then continue all of this nonsense attacks that you're doing every single day. And of course, you think Stephen Colbert said anything? You think he said boo in response? No, he was cheering it on. They don't call out the hypocrisy, and that's where their bias is showing. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. We're live on this Friday afternoon. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Ew, that's kind of gross.
It's kind of gross. People are flushing too many wipes, and it's causing some gross clogged sewers. So what have we had a run on lately, Producer Peyton?
Toilet paper.
And so if you don't have toilet paper, you will turn to other things to utilize to keep your bottom clean, like baby wipes, sometimes napkins, maybe paper towels if you've been able to find them. On top of that, what else are we doing right now? We're told to clean basically everything. So a lot of folks pull out those Clorox bleach wipes and they start wiping down the kitchen and the bathroom. And rather than put those in the trash, which you're supposed to do. Some people are putting them in the toilet, and you're not supposed to do that. That says John Land, who's the water and sewer manager for the city of Monroe, talking with King 5.
It's most troublesome is in the collection systems, whether it's in a pumping system or in a lateral line. Just their nature, they tend to find each other and cause clogs and rags, if you will, blocking sewer lines, side sewers, and then ultimately pumps.
Oh my God, did you hear that? They tend to find each other. It's like a match made in toilet paper heaven. They gravitate towards each other. Oh my God.
How does it feel that they can find a match in a sewer drain and you can't find a match on Tinder?
Oh my God. I can't find a match anywhere, but a soiled piece of toilet paper is finding love in our sewers, whether we're talking about Monroe or Tacoma or Seattle. Now, this is not a new problem because people do this all the time, but right now a lot of people are doing it all at once, and so it's causing some bigger problems. And he makes the argument to King 5 that, look, if you continue to do this, you're just costing yourself some money.
Very often, these fouling rags and clogs don't make it to our main, and many, many homeowners have to have a plumber come out and jet their line and free clogs that, unfortunately, were caused by, you know, putting wipes down the toilet.
How many wipes are y'all using? That's the part of this that I don't quite understand. I get it if you're putting a whole bunch of wipes down at once. How often are you going to the toilet? And that's not a rhetorical question. I demand answers, folks, at 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text message. I don't quite believe this. I think he's more concerned about the clogging of his system, right, at the city of Monroe. The sewer managers all across the state are probably dealing with this exact same problem. I think we're just kind of saying, hey, if you keep doing this, it's going to cause you. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that unless you have really old systems. Now, clearly, when we're talking about the Clorox bleach wipes, throw those in the trash. Or get actual Clorox that you spray and then use a rag and then clean the rag and do it that way. But what are you supposed to do with the toilet paper alternative? Like the baby wipes. I am not an animal. I am not putting them in a where do we put it? Producer Peyton, where do we put it? You're just gonna put it in your trash bin in the toilet? Gross. Plastic bags. Y'all ban plastic bags, so I can't put them in a plastic bag. So what exactly am I supposed to do with the...
I don't have an answer for you, and I feel like we need to ask a plumber. I'm sure we have at least one plumber listening out there.
This is just nonsense. I'm sorry, City of Monroe. I get it. But you know what? We are living in a world in which we are all dealing with the dangers in many ways of the coronavirus. Dangers from a health perspective, and I guess dangers to our plumbing. But I am going to flush my wipes down the toilet. Well, I'm not.
You have a bidet.
I have a bidet. I'm not an animal like Producer Peyton. But, I mean, oh, my gosh. What are you supposed to do? And don't come out there and just tell me, oh, this is a big problem without giving me a solution. I went through that King 5 story 3 times. I've yet to find a solution that is provided to deal with this specific problem.
I'm sorry. Are they supposed to give you solutions or provide the news?
A solution. If you don't want me flushing these things, tell me what I'm supposed to do with them. Because again, remember, we've banned plastic bags. Okay? Because if they were arguing, saying, hey, you know those plastic bags you get from the grocery store when you go over to Safeway? Come on, bring it back in. You know, this is one of those things. You know how you use it to pick up after your dog? Well, now you can use it to pick up after yourself. But you can't do that, can you? They don't tell you to do that anymore. I wonder why. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So Brooke Baldwin becomes the second CNN host to test positive for the coronavirus. She made that announcement on her Instagram page, which, by the way, can we stop posting screenshots of text on your Instagram? Instagram is for photography, art, pictures of food.
Okay, boomer.
Not pictures of text. What are you going to defend this?
Is it not a picture?
It's a picture of it's a screenshot of text. That's not a picture.
So do you just want her to post a picture of her frolicking in a meadow with that as the caption, or would you rather it just be the thing that grabs?
Well, no, she should be in bed, maybe with a thermometer and looking miserable, and then put the text in the actual text part of the Instagram.
You mean like how you candid, all of your selfies that you're putting out there promoting that you're
candid.
Working from home.
They're all
it's
candid.
Not a candid picture if you're taking your own picture.
I wasn't taking my own picture. Someone else took it.
While you're just nonchalantly looking like 3 degrees to the left away from
yes.
the camera. Just look into the
really
camera,
close,
Jason, and steer into the fact that you're taking a selfie.
Here's what she says on her Instagram. I've tested positive for coronavirus. I am okay. It came on suddenly yesterday afternoon. Chills, aches, fevers. I've been social distancing, doing all the things we're being told to do. Still, it got me. Well, by the way, clearly she wasn't doing all the things she's told to do. How did she get it if she was literally doing all the things? She was in the studio, I'm pretty sure. I don't think she's been broadcasting from home. I think she's been broadcasting from her studio as of at least 2 days ago, or at least that's what it looked like. So very clearly she's not. That part really annoys me. I did everything and it still got me. Then you didn't do everything. Then you clearly didn't do everything. She says, I'm healthy, no underlying conditions. Honestly, I feel like one of the lucky ones. I look forward to be back on TV and seeing you real soon. And shout out to the doctors and nurses who are doing the real work right now. So, you know, obviously we want her to get better. Chris Cuomo's also sick. He's still doing a TV show because he wants to pretend that he's tough because that's just his personality. We wish them all the best. So I won't make fun of Brooke Baldwin or criticize her at all. Her show was awful. Starting now. Is that cool? Is that fair?
Good job on getting that last one out of the way.
It's sort of like right when you start a diet, like the night before, you just kind of binge eat because you know you're not going to eat all that pizza and cupcakes and stuff. I just had to do it. Brooke Baldwin's the worst. So starting now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
So businesses are struggling with the shutdown, of course, and we're going to continue our daily segment to highlight how some of the businesses out there are trying to stay afloat while still doing good for the community. Today, we make a stop on Bainbridge Island, where Hitchcock had to close down their dining room to business, but obviously it doesn't mean they're closed down in their kitchen. In fact, they're now offering family-style takeout meals, but with a little bit of a twist. When you buy one from them, you also help a family in need. Brendan McGill is the chef and owner of Hitchcock, and he joins me now. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So what are you doing differently for the coronavirus crisis and the stay-at-home order?
Well, at first we were trying to figure out how to pivot each of the businesses so that we could keep our staff safe and comply with the new rules, and found out pretty soon that wasn't going to have anywhere close to a sustainable level of business for most of our places. So we closed down, 6 out of 7 of the operations and kept doing a takeout and delivery from our pizzeria, Bruciato on Bainbridge Island, which has been great. And I think people were already used to using the place like that, doing takeout for the family kind of made sense. So that made sense. It took a couple weeks to put it together, but from Hitchcock, we've kind of come at it from a couple angles. So we are we're doing a family meal, which is a takeout that's just a little more geared towards towards takeout than our typical menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed for either for 2 or for 4 guests, and kind of just our version of some really nice comfort food that would keep you from having to cook again. And we also launched a CSA, so the box, community supported agriculture. You're probably used to seeing them come from farms where people mm-hmm. subscribe to it, and then every week they get a box. And so ours is a mixture of food from our farm and from other organic farms on the Kitsap and Olympic Peninsulas, and then a bunch of different prepared foods that we make, both from our foods company and just in the restaurant.
And
Brendan, and preserves.
Just to the point of the boxes, I think this is also important. We spend a lot of time rightly focused on restaurants because you've got a lot of staff members from wait staff to, back end staff, chefs and all that. But also impacted in all of this are the suppliers and the farmers that are local, that are giving quality products to the actual restaurants. And if you guys aren't doing enough business, that means you're not ordering from those farms.
Right. They're being hurt tremendously by this. By this crisis that we're all experiencing. And so being able to go direct to the consumer and buy, dozens of cases of organic produce to get ready for our CSA launch this weekend, it was great. It felt great for us. And speaking of the front of the house, a lot of our staff who got laid off we're offering these boxes at 50% off, which is under our cost to put them together, to our entire staff. So people who are kind of riding this out on unemployment, we want to make sure they get fed too. We're trying to look at this as a way that'll help as many people as possible, including the pay it forward option that you mentioned in the intro. So when people, this was inspired by a move that Trophy Cupcakes was doing, where they said you can just buy some cupcakes for first responder, and they'll match it and it'll feel good. And so we're doing that. We're working with Helpline House and just seeking people directly who are in need of any kind of support right now. And people who buy a pay it forward box through the CSA program, we match that. Another cool move we've seen some people do is they get the weekly box subscription, mm-hmm. and then they ask that we just donate every other week. So we're seeing a tremendous amount of community support here.
So people can go to HitchcockRestaurant.com for this information if they want to help out with the this box.
That's right. We want it to be the best value that you're going to find for, artisan foods and organic local produce and wild crafted foods and seafood and ranched meats and everything else. So, I want it to have that value for the consumer, but if they decide that they want someone else to have that, they can gift one and then we'll gift another. And so together, hopefully we can kind of make an impact out there beyond, like you mentioned, keeping this commerce going for the providers or the producers is important. I'm looking at it and we're saving some trips here. If we can send one van around with 100 boxes, that keeps a lot of people from going to the grocery store that day.
Absolutely.
Hopefully that keeps us all safer too.
Well, perfect. I really appreciate the work that you're doing. Again, I encourage folks out there to think about ways that you can help these businesses stay afloat and help them pay their workers, but also pay close attention to the businesses that are also doing some extra good for the community. It's just be more mindful of all of that. We've been talking with the chef and owner of Hitchcock, Brendan McGill. Again, the website is HitchcockRestaurant.com. Hang out there now and check out their pay it forward option. I think it's awesome that you're doing that, Brendan. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Again, the website is HitchcockRestaurant.com. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local right here on KTTH.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is the Big Local on The Jason Rand Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. Yes, even during the coronavirus crisis, we still do something called the Big Local. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. They don't spend all that much time considering stories about the communities you live in. And so every single day, 4:30, we ignore Seattle and instead focus on your communities. And we start in Tacoma and really Pierce County. They're doing something really, really cool with their Pierce County Sheriff's Department. They're doing something called Storytime with the Sheriff, which is a daily video that's posted on YouTube of individual sheriff's deputies reading books, children's books, to kids, and they're posting it online. So, if you're sick and tired of dealing with your kid all day because he's been kind of a pain in the backside, you put him in front of a computer, which I know they tell you not to do. But in this case, they can watch an officer read from a kid's book. And then once they do that, they get sued for copyright infringement. I'm actually worried. I'm actually worried they're going to get sued for this because Pierce County Sheriff PIO Ed Troyer, here he is reading arguably the worst children's book ever, Where the Wild Things Are.
The night Max wore his wolf suit and made mischief of one kind. And another.
Oh,
you see, Max is being naughty.
Oh, Mommy, I don't like Max.
His mother called him Wild Thing, and Max said, I'll eat you up. So he was sent to bed without eating anything.
You're a wild thing. I hate you.
Max is in trouble. That very night, in Max's room, a forest grew. And grew.
And it kept growing. I'm an eco-terrorist.
Where the Wild Things Are is a horrible children's book. Not only is the story bad, just literally, just from a storytelling point, and I'm sorry, I'm getting off the story for a second. Are you familiar with the story, Producer
yes.
Payton?
Yes, okay. Very much so.
So Kid is a bad kid, gets sent to his room, has an imaginary sort of voyage to an island of other bad things, is especially bad, becomes the king of the bad things, and then gets sick of it and basically goes back home. And then once he wakes up from this dream, he's got food there waiting for him. So what's the message that this story is trying to tell you? If you're bad, you'll eventually get whatever it is you were originally punished from?
Well, why don't you let Sheriff Troyer be able to talk about that?
Okay, fine.
When your mom and dad or your grandparents or whoever's taking care of you put in your room or time out, it's because they love you and they want you to grow up to be the best person you can be. You know what? When I was young, I was kind of a wild thing. And you know what happened? When I grew up, I became a Pierce County Sheriff Deputy.
Yeah, well, you want to know what happened to Max? He became a pimp. How about that? I'm kidding.
When did
I'm
that
kidding.
Sequel
I'm
come
kidding.
Out?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I mean, I saw it on YouTube the other day. Sergeant Darren Moss, talking with Como TV, says the kids at home are there, and this is just a good way to spend some quality time.
I just want to send you kids a message. If you're wondering right now, we're out here trying to protect you guys. If you're wondering what you can do for us, what I would say is,
don't tell any lawyer that we are reading in full all of these books because we don't want to get sued. But also,
be with your family, be safe in your homes, love one another, just hang in there, we'll get through this together. You don't have anything to worry about. You guys have each other at home, and we've got your back out here.
Okay, so this is obviously awesome that they're doing this. Here's Jason Tells the Future on April 3rd at 4:34 p.m. I don't even think this is going to take long. I'm willing to bet within the next week, we're going to hear from activists in the community who are upset that the cops are doing this, and they're going to argue that evil, racist cops should have no conversations at all with kids. That you're a bad parent if you put your kids in front of the YouTube to watch deputies because it glorifies police violence. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. I guarantee you. Did you write it down? I can't see because I'm in my home studio.
I'm typing it up right now because I went digital.
Digital. Okay. So we're not using the blood anymore?
I already transcribed it. Pinprick of the hand. I transcribed it.
Meanwhile, some grocery stores like Town and County Bainbridge, they are creating virtual lines so that you don't have to actually wait in a line, worry about being 6 feet apart from the person in front of you, not having to stand out there potentially in the rain if it rains this weekend. In fact, this way, you don't have to wait in line at all. They'll send you a little bit of a quick note. I think it's in text form that says, yeah, hey, come on in. Now's the time. You got 10, 15 minutes to get here. Shoppers like Leslie, they're making adjustments in order to get what they need. Here she is talking with King 5.
It's been very different and very strange. I make eye contact with the other shoppers and, you know, kind of say, you do a little sign language, you know, I'll go this way, you go that way.
Okay, how about you just not talk to me at all? Make no contact with her. I know what you're there for. You know what I'm there for. We don't have to have any other kinds of communication in the ground. I just want to get in and get out. David Garcia is a store manager who lays out their online implemented strategy.
And there's a wait in line button that you click, and then all you do is give your name and phone number before you get here, and we can send you a text notification when it's your turn to come in. Once you get here, there'll be somebody at the door that can help walk you through the process.
I hope they don't literally walk you through the process, because that would be violating social distancing guidance.
We're a small space anyway, and then we have deliveries coming in, so our staff needs to be able to get things on the shelf.
I kind of love this idea, and I hope, you know, I'm looking at what's going on right now and thinking about how life after COVID-19 is going to look. Not solely from maybe we don't do any of the handshakes, which is awesome, but some of the ways that we've made life even more efficient. Granted, there are some people who love going to the grocery store, and maybe even right now people like going to the grocery store because it gets them out of the house, and this is a place where they don't have to feel any shame going because it's an essential business. But the whole idea of going to the grocery store and fighting the lines, especially because sometimes when you go to Costco, for example, or Winco or whatever, they can sometimes have really long lines at checkout. If they were to do management like this, I kind of think I would sign up for it. I've not been. Have you been, Producer Peyton, to the grocery store in the last week?
I think like on Saturday I went, so like 6 days ago.
Okay, so are people like using homemade shivs to get to the toilet paper? Because it feels like not a place I want to be right now.
No, it seemed like nobody was just trying because they knew that there was no hope in getting any. Do you realize that, like, we remember like the early weeks of coronavirus where everyone was going after hand sanitizer, and now everyone's just given up on looking for hand sanitizer, and we've transitioned all of our focus to the toilet paper?
Well, that's actually good, because now the person who goes out today, maybe you're headed over to your local Safeway, I bet you there's probably some hand sanitizer and soap there. I bet you now, because everyone thought that there's no more in sight, they'll never get any again, you'll be able to find one.
I mean, there's been like that cheap soap that's like a dollar, but I'm not going to, even I won't get that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to use that because I have class, but I mean, it's fine for people like you.
I'm above that.
No, you're not.
I'll just go take the big bottle of hand sanitizer off your desk while you're working from home.
Finally, a Bellevue dentist has been accused of intentionally burning boxes with protective medical masks and gear, all in an effort to destroy his office. He's apparently mad that this is alleged, that he is being evicted for not paying the rent. It was the second arson at the office in consecutive days. That, according to police, in a piece we found at Como TV, Mohammed Matt Rafi, or Rafi, operated A to Z Dental, and he was charged with first-degree arson in connection with the sets of fires. Sets of fires, not one. He was arrested at the scene, posted a $25,000 bail the next day, that according to jail records. Prosecutors later requested a higher bail amount, and then he ended up posting $100,000 per the Seattle Times, because apparently dentists make a lot of money in a profession that everyone fears but is 100% necessary. So the first fire was on March 23rd. Como then says the next evening, firefighters were called back to the same office, and this time they found five separate small fires set throughout the dentist's office amid the strong smell of a lighter fluid type accelerant with a nearby oxygen tank open and spewing gas. That according to investigators, who then noted this guy must be particularly bad at what he's doing because it seems almost impossible that the entire building didn't explode given the circumstances present. How did that not catch on fire? You have a nearby oxygen tank open, spewing gas. Five individual fires set throughout the office.
Are you making the story about this guy being a bad arsonist?
He's very clearly a bad arsonist. I almost think we should let him out of jail and let him off the hook because he was just so incompetent. I mean, that you have to be really bad to not set a building on fire given that circumstance, given this scenario. They say the source of the flames in several cases were boxes of protective medical masks and gowns, according to the prosecutors. Now, according to the story, he admitted that he was the cause of the fire. And then they also said there's lots of evidence that the fires were intentionally set. And he clearly had motive in this process because he was being evicted for failing to pay rent. And by the way, we don't believe that this was failing to pay rent as a result of the coronavirus. Right. So this is just a bad guy. I was noticed, people are shocked by this story. They're saying, you set on fire personal protective equipment when you know there are medical professionals in desperate need of them? I'm shocked. How could someone stoop so low? Why would you be shocked by this? People are bad. There are some really bad people. There are some really selfish people. There are really stupid people out there. And stupid, selfish people do things like this all the time. Not to this extent. And the good news is, at least he didn't completely take out the entire building because he was on the second floor of a complex. So there were other offices. But I mean, do we let him off the hook because he was so stupid? Do we just take the $100,000 and say, don't do it again? Everyone knows who you are. Who in the world would ever go to some dude who has this in his background? Maybe that's part. No, okay, never mind. Throw him in jail. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. In fact, if you text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-877, I'm going to send you a link to subscribe not just to my podcast, but to the Todd Herman Show podcast. Well, we're doing special. Every single night I'm doing a Facebook Live or a Twitter Live video. to take us through the loneliness of the self-isolation, but I'm turning that also into a podcast. So if you don't have Facebook or Twitter, or if you're not able to watch those videos live, we're basically doing the After Show podcast again. So make sure you text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link so you can become a subscriber and get this extra content through the stay-at-home order. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. When we come back, more nonsense as special interests go after Fox News. And when you go after Fox News, you go after me. You want to know why, Producer Peyton?
Why is that?
Because I'm the best damn guest they've ever had, and I don't want that to go away. We're going to get into that when we come back right here on The Jason Rancho. Back to the Jason Rancho live on this Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, I know a lot of you are stuck in the house. There are many ways that you can listen to this show and this station. Of course, on the KTTH smartphone app, which you can download right now in your phone's app store, or you can listen on the smart speakers, like an Amazon Echo and a Google Home. However it is you want to listen, we will be there for you throughout all of this and even past it. There are some people who don't want Fox News to be broadcasting through this or even past it. We know that people don't like Fox News because Fox News has, oh my gosh, conservative perspectives. That's not right. That's not journalism. And so you have a lot of people who are always looking for ways to go after an individual anchor or a reporter or a personality. And then you've got them just going all in to try to attack the entire network. And that's what's happening right now. Washington Times has a story out there about Todd Gitlin. He's a Columbia University School of Journalism professor. He put up an open letter against Chairman Rupert Murdoch and his son, Lachlan Murdoch. He's the CEO, accusing them of risking the lives of Fox News viewers by allowing the network to push out misinformation that they deem dangerous, misleading information. He puts up this open letter. And by the way, open letters should never be shared because open letters are never interesting or quality. Open letters are the worst. And anyone who does that is way too in love with themselves. But in this case, the letter slams Fox News personalities for, quote, subjecting their audience to dangerous misinformation by minimizing the deadly pandemic and downplaying the prevalence of the coronavirus. According to this letter, quote, the basic purpose of news organizations is to discover and tell the truth. This is especially necessary and obvious amid a public health crisis. Television bears a particular responsibility because even more millions than usual look there for reliable information. Let's be clear about this. NBC News has been pushing literal Chinese propaganda for the last 2 weeks, and you don't hear boo from any of these watchdogs of the media. MSNBC, how many times did they do interviews with Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, downplaying, not just even downplaying, flat out spreading actual misinformation about the contagion effect? He was all there, said, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Go out, still go to parades. We got a Chinese New Year parade coming up. Go out, go hang out there, go on the subways. This only impacts a small amount of people. He said that over and over and over again. And do you hear anything from these watchdog groups about them? They're only going after Fox. Why is that? Why are they only going after Fox? Fox covered this the exact same way NBC did, MSNBC, CNN. They just did it from a conservative point of view. We heard early on Tom Cotton, Senator, Republican, coming out there on Fox News with Tucker and other shows. I believe he was also on Sean Hannity, talking about how there is suspicion that the coronavirus actually came from a lab in China. Well, guess what we're hearing right now? At the time when Tom Cotton did that on Fox, because it was on Fox, it was all about misleading propaganda. They're spreading conspiracy theories and people's lives are in danger as a result, which made no sense. Well, now doctors are raising the exact same suspicions. But you don't hear Todd Gitlin from Columbia University School of Journalism and any of the people who sign on to his open letter. You don't hear them going after NBC or MSNBC. You hear them exclusively going after CNN. Speaking of CNN, last night they were doing a town hall style event on the coronavirus. And who did they have on the show? You think they had an expert? I mean, there were some experts. You know what else they had on? Scott Z. Burns. Producer Peyton, do you know who Scott Z. Burns is?
Yes, I do.
But only because you pulled the audio.
Yeah, I cheated.
You should have just played along and was like, I don't know who it is. So let's try that again. Do you know who Scott Z. Burns is?
No, who's Scott Z. Burns?
Well, no, I was asking you. I don't know who he is. Why would you do that? I'm just trying to get us some basic information. I thought you knew who he was. He's the screenwriter of Contagion. He was the guy that they had on last night. And he pushed a narrative that is flatly false.
When I was contemplating the movie and speaking to experts, the notion that, you know, the richest country in the world where we live would have a 3-month head start on this and now finds itself as the sickest country in the world is something I would have never thought to put in a screenplay, nor would I have contemplated the kind of response we've seen from the federal government in terms of testing or, you know, blaming other people. And I certainly would have never thought that, you know, the president of this country would call a pandemic like this a hoax. So
he didn't call this a hoax. He didn't call the pandemic a hoax. Anderson Cooper stood by, didn't say a damn thing. This was last night, April 2nd, and they are still pushing this lie, this debunked talking point. But you don't go after CNN. Chris Cuomo has a press briefing. Or Andrew Cuomo has a press briefing involving his brother. This would have been called out if the president did this at one of his press briefings, but because it's a Democrat talking to a CNN anchor, it's cute. It's what they do.
Yeah, I really believe that it didn't start until I got the diagnosis, maybe because psychosomatic or whatever. But that night, I got hit with fever and those Rigors spelled like rigors, R-I-G-O-R-S. But it was like out of a movie. I tell you, I had the hallucination. I was seeing pop. You came to me in a dream. You had on a very interesting LA outfit. And you were dancing in the dream.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to finish this. President Trump did this during one of his press briefings. They would call it a joke. They would go after him. This is serious times. People are dying. But it was Chris Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo of New York. And I guess it's okay. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. And when we come back, we're going to talk with a gun shop owner here in Washington State who says, yeah, I'm not closing my gun shops. You're listening to The Jason Rancho.